Welcome to TA1. Yay! I'm your host, Legendary Randy Erickson. And we're back-ish. So, we have a episode with a rookie adventure racer, Tomas Diaz. And I've probably... No, I said it right. Anyway, yeah, I know. It's been a while. But I have been busy doing... I don't know, where have I been? I was in Florida, the Maine last week. I had a bunch of stuff around here. Got some stuff coming up. Anyway, we have an episode. It's all you really probably care about. So, yeah, we'll put it on. Tomas is a rookie-ish. Several pretty good races under his belt already, but it was an interesting chat to... go back to sort of our AR roots. So, that said, let's listen. Slow as fast, hit the CPs, and thanks for listening. And we'll get some more coming, got some things in the plan. So, until next time, bye.
Hello, how are you?
Very good.
Good. Killing two birds with one stone?
Absolutely, yes. You hear me well? You hear me okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
You hear me? Okay. Okay, good.
So, so what is your training you're doing right now?
No, I'm just walking right now. There were people in my house, so I just went ahead for a walk. That's all. A very quick walk around the neighborhood. That's it. So no real training right now.
No. Well, let's see. I've had people driving. I've had people sitting in their car because the rest of the family was watching basketball playoffs. But I think you're the first one that just like, I'm going to get out of the house and go for a walk. So congratulations.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I do this pretty much for all of my office meetings or as much of them as possible.
Yeah. Well, that's that's smart, right? Why not?
Yes. I've done them paddling also.
Yeah, I can see that too. Or I think probably biking would be bad because you probably get a little wind noise.
I've done it biking too, yes. Okay. That's a little bit more difficult. That's more difficult, yes.
So that's cool. So tell people who you are.
All right. My name is Tomas Diaz. I started adventure racing since March of last year. That was my very first race. So I'm fairly new to this, but I got addicted really bad because since then I've done probably like, I don't know, I lost count. I've done mostly short races, but several 24-hour races, several 36-hour races. And I think it's like, I don't know, 12. It was a rate of like once or twice a month. I was either doing a short race or something. So I got addicted really bad to this. So
yeah, you did. So what? Yes. What flipped the switch for you?
What flipped the switch for me was initially, way before COVID, I was at a physician's office. And I was weighing like 270 pounds and they were looking, he was showing me my A1C numbers and like I was pre-diabetic and I was like not sleeping well and I had sleep apnea, I had all sorts of really horrible health conditions. And the physician showed me the numbers and he's like, you know, you either need to change your lifestyle and, you know, change your eating habits and change everything or else I'm going to have to push drugs on you for diabetes and stuff like that. So like, okay. That's a warning call. So this is way before COVID, I started dropping weight and I started taking care of my health. And then after that, I'm like, let's go ahead and do a couple of triathlons. So I started doing some triathlons and I sort of enjoy them. But, you know, so I did like, I don't know, like only two triathlons. And then there was this sponsor ad that appeared on my Facebook page about this adventure race in Michigan. I'm like, what the hell is this? Checkpoints? Orienteering? I'm like, I have no idea what this is. So I signed up. I was trying to look for a teammate. I had no teammate. So I signed up for it solo. It was a 3-hour race, a short one, kind of introductory, but it was in the winter. And the day before the race, I show up there with a compass and I asked the race director, how do I use this thing? Like, seriously, how do I use this thing? Because like, there's a thing here that goes, there's this thing here in the compass that goes around and you can move it. Like, what do I use it? I know how to point north, but I didn't know how to use the little roundy thing that you have in the compass. I'm like, and then he kind of showed me, and then I went on that first adventure race and I had a blast. It was in the winter. I didn't clear. I messed up a lot of things because like my timing, I wasn't wearing a watch and I arrived 30 minutes earlier. I could have cleared the course, but I arrived 30 minutes earlier because I thought it was a mess. But nevertheless, because there were few participants, I got second place solo. I'm like, in the solo division, I got second place. I'm like, what the hell, you know? So then I'm like, okay. And then I like, okay, good. Then I'm going to, I loved it. Then my first one, I loved it. This guy in that adventure race, he included like also other activities like wall climbing. And like, that was in 2021. So he was one of the activities was like to shoot paintballs at cartoons drawn about from the COVID, like COVID cartoons, COVID virus cartoons, shoot paintballs at that. And like, you know, all riddles, and there were other things involved. There were other things there, but it was just mostly a Rogaine with additional activities. Yeah. So then I'm like, oh, I can do this. I like this. I enjoy that better than a triathlons. So I'm like, I got second place solo. Okay, cool. So then I got cocky. Bad thing that I got cocky because I can do this. So then I went ahead and I signed up for the Adventure Full race a month after that. And that was a 6-hour race, and that one included mountain bike. But I never ridden a mountain bike. I never own a mountain bike. So I signed up for the race, buy a mountain bike, start practicing, and then off I went solo to the Adventures Full race. And then I went from what, you know, in that introductory race of second place all the way to, I don't know, somewhere below the middle, because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. You know, all of a sudden the navigation was not that straightforward, you know, wasn't that easy. So, and then from there on, I got addicted to it and I started adding up different races and I went to nationals. I did like several 24, several 36 hours. The first 36 hours was with some guys I didn't know that invited me to that for that one. That was the Two Rivers one. And then my first expedition was C2C this year, and then I did Croatia last month, and I'm doing Endless Mountains next week.
Do you do everything? Do you jump in with both feet and go hard?
That's pretty much what I did. I jumped in, yes. I got into it and I just jumped in, and basically, you know, most of the teams, I've mostly run solo because I haven't had any teammates, but now, you know, I meet people and I just join even if I don't know them, and that's usually how I race. Most of the teams that I have raced with, I didn't know them until the day before the race. I've raced with some of them again, but
yeah. So I mean, are you jumping on with teams or just with other people and putting together teams? Because sometimes it's kind of a weird dynamic when you you join three people that know each other.
Most of the teams I have joined are people that I don't know, that I know like the day before.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I shouldn't say that. We meet in Zoom meetings, calls, you know, prior to the race, we plan together. That we do. But face to face for the first time, we meet like the day before the race, usually.
Yeah.
Usually, yes. That's how we did it. Like last month in Croatia, that's how we did it. I met my teammates the day before the race, right there in Croatia.
So where did you guys all, I mean, how did you all come together then for that?
That's a obviously very interesting thing.
Good. I love interesting stories.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Basically, there's Brett Gavling. He's the team captain, Tim Curl. And he is had a team with Adam. He's also the teammate. Two of the team members, they signed up for this race in Croatia for over 2 years or something.
Yeah.
So they had this plan way ahead. But then one of their team members got injured. And the story is that the other team member was the spouse of that team member or something. And like, if one of them is not going, then the other one is not going. So
yeah,
basically they lost two team members. So then I think they were approaching different people. I think it was Hunter who approached me and say, hey, there's a team that is going to Croatia. I think he approached me like 6 weeks before the race or something like that, or maybe 7 weeks. I forgot.
Yeah.
And I like talked to them. Okay, fine. So I talked to Brett. I never met him. So basically I was talking to him and I was like, yeah, I'll join, you know, but you don't have your lady yet. And the Croatia requirements on that team is like, you need to have a team of four and it has to be mixed. So I cannot commit to anything until you find your lady. And I didn't think he was going to be able to find the woman racer such last minute. And I helped him also because I tried asking different people. I asked different people here locally in Michigan. I have different women in different other places. They were mostly committed. I'm like, there's no way he's going to find some woman, you know, to commit like almost last minute like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Brett, the team captain, I didn't know this, but his job, you know, his real job, his day job, is a headhunter. So he's like, oh, no. He's like, no, we'll get a lady. You'll see. We'll get a lady. I was skeptical. But, you know, he's a headhunter. So, yes, he did get a lady. Yes, he did. So he gives me a call. Well, we have a lady now for the team. Oh, really? Oh, crap. I need to tell my wife now.
Yeah, there's that part. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I tell my wife, she was sort of okay, but no, I don't know. It was took some negotiation there. And then we start planning. And I think we start making the reservations. And I think we only had a month. We couldn't train together because our lady Kelly, our lady racer, Kelly, she's in Alabama. The other two guys are in California. They were training together because they live very close to each other. And I was in Michigan. So we just like training on our own without the team. And like, we had some regular, Zoom calls. We had a chat that we talked to and like we planned. And, I had my spreadsheets that I shared with the rest of the team. And like, we started to develop this really awesome team dynamics. It's amazing how, you know, we're essentially strangers and we start developing these great team dynamics even prior to the race. It's like, you know, they're basically strangers, and yet, you know, you're gonna spend a lot of time with these people, and yet, the team dynamics is great.
So, how does that manifest itself? Because I mean, I understand what you're saying that, you know, you're clicking and everything, but, I mean, are you talking, and all of a sudden you're all kind of like, oh yeah, that this is working, or how do you notice that?
I think it just happens. I don't know. I have been fortunate so far. I have been fortunate to be in all of the teams that I have raced with, and it's most of them has been meeting them the first day before the race. So far, I haven't had any bad experiences or any bad dynamics. That doesn't mean this is not going to be a first one.
Yeah.
But so far, it's been okay. I guess most of the people in racing, I guess, they're kind of in the same mindset, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It has worked. In our case, it worked. Despite not, I mean, and then we also have some goals that we set before the race, and those goals are subject to change. Like, for example, one of the things I do, I create this nice spreadsheet that puts all the legs and puts all the distances and puts everything, and like it approximates everything, and it even the Excel spreadsheet that I have even changes the day and the night and when this is going to happen and so on. And I told them this is a nice spreadsheet, but I told the rest of the people, it's like, well, once you start racing, the spreadsheet goes out the door because it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's good for planning, but once you start racing, the spreadsheet is irrelevant anymore because now everything changes. Now what you thought the speed was going to be is not going to be. It's going to be different. So far it has worked. I don't know why.
So, well, I think you nailed it because you are all over the same. Your mindset's the same going into it, I think that's where it comes from. So, So you're clicking pretty good. And how soon, I ask this a lot of times, but how soon after you met, did it feel like a team, or did you feel like a team before you even met?
I felt like a team before we met, but it was more solidified right there when we met face to face. Like, this is a team, we're doing this together, no matter what.
Yeah.
And there was a sense of not quitting either. There was no mindset of quitting in any one of us four. So then we, once we met face to face, we still had to go through the pre-race organizations and like the checklist and like different things and the race organizers. So there's several activities you have to do beforehand anyway. So that's, you're still solidifying your team that way.
Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
Yeah. When I made my, like, Adam and Brett, the two from California, I met them for the first time at the airport. Because we were on the last shuttle bus that the race organizer did. So we just met there at the airport, and I was the last one. I was the last one from all the racers. I was the last one to arrive at Zagreb. And then, so we were in the van, my two teammates, and then the Canadian teammates also were with us. Three of the Canadian team members were there in that van. And then we arrive, and then Kelly, our racer, she arrived earlier. So I met them at the airport, and then Kelly, she was already in the bungalow that they assigned to us, and she was sleeping. We didn't want to wake her up. And there's the bed next to her, so I had to go tiptoe into the room, go into the bed next to her. So in the morning, the day before the race, you know, it's like, I wake up and she's like, oh, you must be Tomas. Hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
That's the first time we met face to face in the room.
Yeah. Which sounds strange to a lot of people, but pretty normal for adventure racers. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Adventure racing makes for strange bedfellows. So what was your guy goal for the race? Was it, you know, obviously it's to finish, but did you break it down any, cause just, you know, finishing is kind of a, yeah, everybody has that goal, but did you have other goals in mind?
Yes. Well, not me. My personal goal is to always try to go with the flow, and whatever the team goal is, I try to adjust. So the original goal, of course, the team captain wanted to be like podium. I kind of warned him, saying that the European teams are very, very strong.
Yeah.
I don't think that's gonna happen, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing is, my personal goal was to at least not be short coursed. Well, that didn't happen either. We did get short course. So then basically everybody had to be flexible into adjusting those goals along the way. So even though we had certain goals, those goals had to be adjusted along the race anyway. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, our team captain, even though he had like this high expectation, high goal, he realized quickly that goal needed to be adjusted. And the team captain, he's a very, I know he was, of course, a little bit frustrated. Nevertheless, he was a very easygoing person. He's a person that is very easy to adapt. So he adapted very easily, and then our goals change. And then he also changed the goals through the entire race, and then did some management on the entire race too. And then he made some decisions so that we can go ahead and finish without any injuries and finish okay. So he made a lot of decisions to make it. So his goals changed completely, but then he made some really good decisions along the way to make everything happen. And we had a blast. So fortunately, because all those goals were adjusted, we had a blast. And yes, we finished also.
Yeah. Well, and there was, you know, the race changed, you know, so that throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into it and with what you're going to do. So being adaptable is a, yeah, if you want to be adventurous, you better be adaptable.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I haven't talked to a lot of people that did the race, but kind of walk us through your race a little bit.
Yes, our race was was quite interesting. So that's when I say that the spreadsheet that I make, they go out the window, and I warn them, you know, these spreadsheets are nice, but once we start, everything goes out the window. The spreadsheet doesn't work anymore. And that's exactly what happened. So on day one, we start, first of all, we get into the lockdown, and then we start planning, and we start looking at the papers and the routes. They gave us two sets of maps. That was wonderful that we received two sets of maps. And then the main navigator, Adam, and I were plotting their course, doing the thing. And then at the same time, they give us the race briefing was the day before. They were giving us race briefings, and sometimes they will interrupt. And I remember Igor, the race director, saying, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to take the orange row. You're not allowed to do that, whatever. And then at some point, he said, you, on the first leg, you're allowed to take the red trails. And then at the same time, at that particular moment in time, we're plotting, and we see this red trail. Oh, so that must be this one. So we can use this one. And then we plot this course. That came back to haunt us later in the day. It was just some of those things.
Yeah.
But anyway, so first leg, we go on our bikes. We go uphill in some heat. And then, of course, our lady racers start having some heat problems. And then we had a lot of problems with that. We make some navigation errors too, the main navigator and I. And the first day was, from that perspective, was not efficient, not good, because the main navigator and I were making a lot of mistakes navigation-wise, and our lady was getting heat stroke. And then basically we had to slow down significantly, of course. Yeah. And then we were running very low on water, because we were thinking that we were going to do that leg in less than 6 hours. It ended up being like almost 15 or something. I forgot what it was. It was very long. And we were running low on water. And then we go to find a place. We're trying to look for water. There's no water there. We finally get to a pond. And when we get to that pond, we're being so far behind. And when we get to the location, we see a race referee pulling up, because they know where we're at. Mm-hmm. And that's when we get informed that when you get to the next TA, you're going to be short course. And like, oh man, we're getting short course right away that quickly. Oh no. So of course our goals have to change. None of us were happy about that. Being short course, like right there on day one.
Yeah.
Then we go ahead, we dip Kelly in the pond. Because she was heat problems. You know, we put her in the pond. We take some pond water, take it with us, hydrate. So now we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna go back to that next transition area where we are informing we're gonna be short course. And that's the mistake, the red trail that I was telling you that we did a really weird thing in the lockdown when we were planning our route. It just so happens that we were supposed to, when we look at the trail, we were supposed to go around it because that trail was a hiking trail and it was going uphill and then downhill. And then with our bikes, with very little water in the heat, you know, and then we basically had to carry our bikes to this hiking trail up a mountain when we could have taken a bicycle road around the mountain. So that's because we messed up in the navigation when we were plotting our routes. And a lot of teams actually did the same thing as us, but when they got to the location, they look at the map again, and then they didn't take the hiking trail. Mm. We were the ones who took that big hiking trail with boulders. I'm talking like we're taking these bikes in the heat with boulders all over the place, and we're just carrying our bikes in non-rideable hiking trails. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Then we get to the TA, and then at the TA, they inform us, okay, now you're going to be taking over to this. I mean, they skip us like two paddle sections and one, they skip us a lot. And then they take us to this other place. We had to be in a ferry. Along the way, we encountered the South African team. And then basically they put us in a ferry, and then we go to this other island. And then in that other island, we were supposed to take our bikes, put in the box. Then we go to a transition area. We were supposed to put our bikes again. And they're like, no, take us back. So basically they took us back one leg behind so we can do at least a trekking section. And then now we go to our bikes. This is our night. And then we go ahead and we do that. We bike all night. And then at least the biking part in the night is better because it's just more cool. And the trekking part in the night is better. And then we go that night, we do the biking section and the trekking. And then we do another trekking section that we started at night. Now we are the next day, day two. And we go through these beautiful places, these beautiful areas. There's some interesting navigation things there because in those regions that we were at, there were miles and miles and miles of these sheep walls. Basically, they're just walls that are done with stones. Mm-hmm. It was like a labyrinth of sheep walls, but in your map, the sheep walls are shown like a dark line with some little markings. And your trail is shown like a dark line with no markings. So the trail and sheep wall looks the same, but same color. So it's an interesting thing when you're dealing with all these walls, but beautiful scenery. So that's what we did. And then that's day two. Then we reach the transition area again, and we get informed that we get short course again. I'm like, no! Short course again, no! So then basically they instruct us to take our bikes to this other location and start from there. So at that moment, the team captain then, because he changed the course, then basically it was already heat and he didn't want us to have any heat exhaustion. He didn't want, we already had our one of the racers having heat exhaustion. So he didn't want her to have heat exhaustion again. So then basically he takes it a little easier and then he went to a restaurant nearby and then he waited there for the South African team to go ahead and do the other legs together. So anyway, we go ahead, we proceed, we then go ahead on the bikes. We bike to this other town and then we left our bikes there. And then we prepare for a hike all night. And the hike all night, that was a very nice highlight. Because now we are night two, we're hiking this island and we are going over some ridge and boulders and everything. And it was just beautiful. We see the sun setting the beach on one side of the island. We go on this beautiful mountain ridge, and then it was all boulders and everything. It was a mixture of boulders and trees and everything. We get the sunset. We get the next day the sunrise. So we watch the sunset, and then we watch the sunrise on the other side of the island when we were hiking through all that area. And then we go to this small town. There's a bunch of villages and small towns, but in the map, where you see it's a small town, it could be a small town or it could be a ghost town. So we go to this ghost town. And in this ghost town, there was an orienteering section there. We did some horrible mistakes there as well. The team was separated. Bad time. It was horrible. So we had to rejoin again. That was a challenge. Then we meet the South African team again. Then we hike back through another area of the island. We hike back together with the South African team. And then we go to this transition area. We're like, yes, finally, we're going to be able to paddle. Because remember, they skipped two paddles for us, and they also skipped two paddles for the South African team.
Yeah.
So like, yes. I'm like, yes, we're finally going to paddle. So we go here, and we get to paddle. Sorry, the paddle is canceled. Like, what do you mean the paddle is canceled? So in my head, I'm like, oh, we get short course again? No, it's canceled for everybody. The rest of the paddles are canceled. I'm like, oh, so we came here, and we're not going to paddle?
Yeah.
So yeah, they put us in a ferry. They put us in a ferry, and then in the ferry, we sleep. The organizer gave us beer in the ferry also, and then they make this makeshift transition area at the end of the ferry, where they have our bike boxes waiting for us. So then after the ferry, the teams get out, and now we are assembling our bikes in a makeshift transition area. For everybody, we're assembling our bike boxes there. And then, we're selling our bikes. And then basically they told us, okay, go to the transition area where we were supposed to end the paddle, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't give us any maps. They're like, just go on this road, make sure the sea is on your right. go to the next town. That's where the transition area is. So we had to go ahead and bike without maps. Yeah. And then on the transition area, we were supposed to get on our bikes again. Now here, this is day three. And here is where I think our lady racer, I think personally, our lady racer shined the most. Because our lady, she went through heat exhaustion almost twice. She got hit in her eye with the handlebar of the bicycle and had a bruised eye. She had bruises all over her extremities, all over her legs. She went through a lot. So she was in pain. She had a lot of, you know, it was hard on her. Yeah. And here's what happened. We were given the option of bicycling straight to the finish line, bypassing all of the next stages, arriving one day earlier, and we would have still be ranked in the exact same position.
Yeah.
So we ask Kelly, you know, we have two options. We can either arrive one day earlier, exactly the same position, exactly the same rank, it's not going to change, or we go up to the mountains to this 70-something kilometer bike ride that goes from sea level to 3,000 feet, you know, all night. And she goes and she says, I came here for 5 days of racing. We're going to get 5 days of racing. We'll say no more. We're going to go up the mountain again then.
Cool.
To me, that was the highlight. When she said that, I was like, oh, well, yeah. Let's do this. You know? It wouldn't have changed our position, but we're getting the 5 days of racing. So then we went to this mountain from 0 to 3,000 feet. And we spent the night there. It was a very cold night. I woke up shivering. I had to sleep in the floor, in the ground there somewhere. We got lost again. We just say, okay, let's take a nap. We sleep there in the wilderness. And then we figure out as a team how to get out of the situation that we were in. And then we rode. And then when we were riding on that day four, heat, you know, we went from cold, cold night. Now it's heat again. Yeah. And then Kelly started having she was kind of being like a little delirious or something from the heat. And at the same time, I was on my bike and then all of the fasteners on my ring gear just snapped out. But we were approaching this little village. And then I saw this guy in the little village because my ring gear was, I mean, all the fasteners snapped out and I couldn't find them. So now I had the pedal. The ring gear is not connected to the pedal, to the crank. So it's not working. So then I find this guy in a ladder changing a light bulb. I'm like, okay, this will be a contractor. So I go to him because there's no hardware stores. There's no, it's a small village. There's no hardware stores. There's no bike shops. So I find this contractor and I say, hey, do you have some fasteners, some bolts, whatever? So from this contractor, we get some bolts, some regular hardware bolts that fit into my holes there in the ring gear, in the chain ring, fix it, put it there. It works great. Now we're going to take care of her. We give her some fluids. We give her some ice cream. And then all of a sudden she's sitting down eating her ice cream, getting fluids. And she's like, and she tells us, what happened? What do I mean it happened? Well, all I remember, I was in my bike and now I'm here sitting. So she lost track of, wow. Like she raised like 5 or 6 minutes there. Yeah. Then after that, we went to the next transition area. We had a nice meal there. And then we bike all night. That was bike all day and then bike all night. We bike all night to the area. Now, since they canceled the last paddle too, then because they canceled the last paddle, then basically they gave us another map. At least they gave us a map to go ahead and, they gave us a map. Yeah. But there was a section that we had to do without a map in order to get to the bridge that connects to the island. And then we biked all night and slept in whatever we could find. And I was very sleepy. And when we were going down, when we were going up hills, it's not a problem. But when we were going up hills, it's not a problem. When we go down hills, and then you're sleepy, and then all of a sudden I start seeing double because the eyes don't concentrate very well. But anyway, we ended up biking all night with some naps along the way, and we finished. And yes, we rank in the last position, but it's still 30 out of 46 because 16 teams didn't make it. Yeah. So we had a blast anyway. it was awesome. It was a very interesting experience, and the team dynamics along the way was awesome.
Do you think that's more fun or more rewarding than, say, you know, you had a race, you did okay, you didn't make any big mistakes, and you kind of finished in the middle? I mean, you guys had an adventure. Seems like more fun to me.
We went through some ups and downs, and at least in my side, I had some downs too. Don't get me wrong, yeah. but mostly all of my experience, at least, was all highs.
Yeah.
So I was high all the time. There were some lows. There was a low in one of the nights that the team wasn't moving. One of our teammates, Adam, fell into a rock, and then he had to put first aid kit on his hand. But then he was looking at the maps too much, and I was getting impatient. Come on, let's go, let's move along. So at that time it was a little low for me. And but then whenever you have things like that, you bring it up and you're like, sorry guys, I was a bit impatient or whatever, but let's go ahead and leave that behind us. And then we move on, you know. So even when we had our hard times, we move on, you know?
Yeah.
So was it fun? Absolutely was fun. Did I get to paddle? I'm bummed about that. We didn't get to paddle at all. I'm bummed about that. Yeah. But it was still an experience because the whole ferry thing and the whole, it's just different. You're getting things that you're not expecting. So that part, that part was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you said you guys were good as a team when you started, but does the team camaraderie, or does the team even come together more? You know, you go, kind of go through those bad times, and then it's like, oh yeah, we look at what we just did. Now we're stronger from that. Does it work like that for you?
I don't know. It's only been 3 weeks since we last saw each other. We keep in touch for sure. We had an experience together, and I keep in touch with Kelly and Brett and Adam, and I chat with them every now and then. Hey, look at this, look at that. We share all the, you know, all the pictures and everything else. We share it within ourselves. So other than that, I mean, it's only been 3 weeks, so I couldn't say would we do something again together? I don't know. maybe not. Depends. If I get call from them, probably. we've been chatting every now and then. You know, Kelly asked me, hey, I want to join this, I want to join that. What do you think about this? What do you think about that one? So we keep in touch for sure.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful experience together. We're not enemies.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. So what's you're still a rookie, but you're starting to learn a lot of stuff. What's the big lesson that you took away from Croatia? Anything?
The big lesson from Croatia?
For you, yeah.
Okay. I think the big lesson, I'm trying to think. I think the big lesson has to be to get better at navigation. I need to get better at navigation. We all do. Well, don't we all?
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Try to not make those mistakes. I don't think there's the only races that I've done where I haven't done a mistake are the short, easy ones. The short ones that are easy and they have checkpoints, like say 100 or 200 meters of a trail. Mm-hmm. But we gotta pay more attention to navigation. So I guess, I don't know. I think that's what it's going to be. Pay better attention to navigation. Yeah. That's the key.
Yeah, well, it is. what's the biggest surprise? How do I word this? Kind of like the biggest surprise or the biggest thing that you didn't know about adventure racing when you started. I mean, you've got to be, I mean, everybody knows how much you're learning this first year or two. I mean, you're learning everything, but so what's something that you didn't know that really kind of surprised you once you started?
Okay. The one thing I didn't know at all when I started was, like I told you in the beginning, mountain biking. I bought my first mountain bike back in late March last year. Yeah. Never ridden a mountain bike before. And I went to the trails and I failed many times. So learning the mountain bike skills and letting those skills to go through, like especially the technical sections, that's my biggest learning that I've done in adventure racing. I'm still learning because I still fall every now and then. I fell in Croatia several times, you know. that's my biggest one. I knew nothing. I knew nothing about nothing. Like I just bought the board. I just bought the damn mountain bike to do the adventure full.
Well, I mean that's what you got to do is you got to buy it. Just go out and do it. So so we'll wrap this up a little bit, or you're going to have a huge hike in today.
No, it's fine. Yeah, sure.
Well, but I got to take the dog out for her hike yet tonight. So, but so I'm always curious about what people's future plans are. So, kind of a two part. So, what do you got coming up? What are you gonna do for the rest of the year? What do you got planned?
All right, for short term, next week I'm doing Endless Mountains in Team Disability with Chip and Catering and what's his name? Oh, I forget the name of the fourth person. It's on the chat.
That's all right. Oh, sorry. You'll learn it.
I think his name is Jason. Jason. Yeah. So that's going to be, I'm driving there this Saturday. So we're starting there next week.
Yep.
And for the rest of the year, right now, I don't have anything scheduled. I'm going to, after Endless, I'm going to be doing a trip with my wife and the children to some places in Spain and Portugal, just a regular road trip. Mm-hmm. And after that, I don't have anything planned so far. I may have some things in October, adventure race. But other than that, I don't have anything planned. The kind that will be filled up at some point. Yeah. I need to take a break from the longer races, though, because my wife is not liking them anymore. But, you know, I'm looking forward to other races anyway. And yes, I want to keep doing the longer ones as well. But I probably have to slow down a little bit on the longer ones because, I mean, I did C2C and then I did Croatia and then I'm going to do Endless. That's three expedition races in less than 6 months.
Yeah, that's a pretty good haul. So the second part of that is, you know, what's the bucket list? What's the big race out there that you like someday?
Huh. The interesting thing is that in my particular case, these expedition races, I wasn't even planning on them.
Yeah.
For C2C, my teammate just approached me because he didn't want to do it alone. And I joined in. Croatia was like that. And Endless was like that too. Kind of like that. So I wasn't really planning them. I'm kind of like a last minute guy, I guess.
Yeah.
So I decided to do these expedition races within a month. So there's no planning for me in that particular sense. So what's a bucket list? I don't have a bucket list yet. However, Patagonia sounds interesting to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe that's going to be my next one. Maybe. I don't know. So I'm thinking if I'm going to put something on my bucket list right now, probably it's going to be Patagonia.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an acceptable answer. It kind of doesn't matter. It's always been a great race, and I think with Jason and that group helping out, I think it's just gonna step it up a notch or two. So that's a good answer. So what do you, I always say that's the last question, but then I always have one more. So what do you do? What is your training like? You just go out and do stuff? Are you regimented or how do you work?
That's a very good question. My training so far, it kind of goes in and out. By that, I mean, it's a little bit ambiguous in the sense that I don't know how to explain it. Depending on my workload and depending on what I'm doing and depending on anything else, if I have time for this, I'm going to ahead and do it. So mainly my training right now consists of if I need to go to the office, for example, and the day is good, I'm going to take my bicycle 23 miles to the office and then 23 miles back, for example. Yeah. with my backpack that has a change of clothes and the laptop.
Yep.
So yesterday, for example, it was 96 degrees here. So I finally got some heat training in Michigan. because it was cold all the time. Mm-hmm. So finally I got some heat training yesterday in Michigan. And it's a difference, of course. Yeah. So I did some training yesterday on my way back from work. And I tried to get my bicycle on the trails here as much as possible. I don't have big hills here, unfortunately. So I have that against me here. I don't really have big hills that I can use here for training. But I tried to get out as much as possible. I do have some nice mountain bike trails next to my very, very, very next, very close to my home that I take whenever I can, almost weekly, at least once or twice weekly, I'm on the trails. I have a nice river 1 mile from where I live, where I do my paddling. Yeah. So I usually just take my kayak for solo and my canoe every now and then. And I just go ahead and put it on the top of my minivan, drive to the launch. I paddle and then I leave that at the end of the paddle in the river. And then I run back through the trails to my car to get it. So I do get a little bit like paddle and running when I'm doing that. So I try to do that, you know, two or three times a week. If there is a race coming, then I ramp it up. And then working remotely, I try to do as many of my Zoom meetings on trails like this.
Yeah.
So I always try to do something on the run, and that's how I do it. I try to get out as much as possible. So it's not something like fixed, as in like, okay, I'm gonna put so many hours today and so many hours here or whatever.
Yeah.
No, I try to get out. I try to get out as much as possible. And if I don't get out, then I need to do some sit-ups or do some weightlifting or whatever. So I got to do something every day. Is it fixed? Not right now, unfortunately. It should be. But that's how I do it.
Yeah. So I think that's probably the right way unless, you know, you're planning on winning. I mean, it's really just kind of got to be a lifestyle.
Oh, on the short ones, no. Whoa, on the short ones, I want the local ones here that are short, like the 3 hour, 4 hour, 6 hour races. No, those because those are sprints. So no, on those I usually podium locally. Okay. No, on those I usually podium. So another part of my training is we have here in southeast Michigan, we have a good orienteering club. So I try to go to as many orienteering meets as possible.
Yeah.
So that I do.
Yeah, that's going to help your navigation a lot.
Yeah. I'm doing an orienteering meet on Saturday, this Saturday.
Yeah.
And then from the orienteering meet, I drive to Pennsylvania for the endless.
That sounds about right. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to talk to you. And it's always fun to meet up with somebody new and, you know, just excited about adventure racing. So good luck next week.
Yes. So. All right. Thank you very much, Randy.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.